You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can only imagine that it had to be the most disappointing day in their lives when the disciples heard from Jesus that he was going to leave. They had invested their whole lives in this man, this prophet, and I can only imagine that it was terribly disappointing. They lived for him, but he kept telling them several times, "I'm going to leave, I've got to leave, I'm about to leave." In chapter 8 of John's Gospel, he says, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, but where I am going, you cannot come." And in chapter 14, the Gospel that was just read, he says, "You heard me say to you, I am going away, I am going to the Father." And so, for the past 3 years of Jesus' life and ministry, the disciples had given themselves to him day and night. And they had poured their lives into his life. And they had heard him teach. And they had seen him do amazing things and heal people and perform all kinds of miracles. And so they had seen this and they had heard it and they had experienced it. They had seen how transformed lives occurred as a result of the ministry of Jesus. They saw how the one who was healed of the 10 lepers returned to hug Jesus' feet and to thank him. And they saw how the woman in Samaria who had experience with Jesus at the well went back to the city, and because of her testimony, the whole city came to know Jesus. They saw it. They experienced it. But in chapter 16 of John, he says this, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go, the Helper, the Spirit, cannot come. If I go, I will send him to you." My response would be, "No thanks, Jesus. I like it just the way it is. I mean, I love it that we're together in this. I love to be able to walk with you and hear you and experience you one-on-one. I like it this way. I don't want to be changed from this kind of dynamic. It's really very comfortable." But Jesus is talking about a qualitatively different relationship with God, a night and day difference in relationship with God when the Holy Spirit comes. In effect, what he's saying is, you think this is great, and it is. It's really great. But it's nothing compared to what will happen in your life when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Jesus was talking about something they couldn't even imagine, something greater than was even in the realm of possibilities for them. Like Abraham, God going to Abraham and saying, "I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go to this place that you don't even know about." And who would ever even imagine that it was there that they would meet the one true God? It's like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, this new generation of Israelites, and they're wandering in the wilderness with a vague hope of a land of milk and honey, but they don't have a clue of what that's going to be like. Peter Kreft, a philosophy professor at Boston College, in a little different context, says it in this way. He says, "Imagine that you're a baby in a womb, and how everything in that place is fantastic. Everything you need is taken care of. You've got warmth and comfort, and all of the things that you need are provided for. And so in that place, you can't even imagine that there's something greater than that. You even hear muffled voices from the outside affirming how great you are and how much they want you. Everything about that place is perfect. And you can't even imagine that there's anything else. And you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. Like the disciples saying, Jesus, we like it here. We really don't want you to leave. And then all of a sudden, one day, everything changes. And you leave that quiet, comfortable place into a brand new world that's filled with this, all these colors and all these experiences and all of these amazing opportunities that you never even dreamed were possible in the womb. And now it's alive to you. And in effect, Jesus is saying, I've got to go in order for that to happen in your life. He tells the disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are empowered from on high, and then you can go out into the world and do what I've asked you to do. They were all together in one place, and Jerusalem is filled now with pilgrims from all over the world because it's Pentecost. It's 50 days after the Passover. And so the city is filled, and in that place, in that time, with the disciples locked behind closed doors, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And there's a lot of different ways of describing that, aren't there, in the scriptures? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were saturated with God's very presence. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And these dull, defeated disciples, in a moment, become powerful, dynamic individuals that go out into the world to change the complexion of the whole world. The God who they walked with and interrelated with and saw do amazing things, that same God has come to live inside of them. You see the qualitative difference that he's talking about here? The God that we knew would never leave us or forsake us, because that's what he said, is going to walk with us for sure, and that's a fantastic thing. But that same God is now living inside of us and living through us and empowering us to live the life that he's called us to live. That's the beauty in the gospel of Pentecost. John describes it in this way, God will come and make his home in us. He says, we will come to him and make our home in him. God dwelling in us as his home. Paul says it this way in Galatians. He says, you'll be filled with the fullness of God himself. And then he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's now in you, that who you walked with and heard from and related to is now living inside of you. I wonder if Pentecost is the opportunity for us to move from knowing him and moving from the wonderful affirmation that God will never leave us or forsake us to the understanding and the experience of God living inside of us and living through us. In Pentecost, God doesn't give us wisdom, but he comes to live in us as wisdom. In Pentecost, he doesn't come to give us power, but his power fills our lives in Pentecost. In Pentecost, he doesn't come to give us comfort, but the God of all peace comes to abide in us and to reside in us. In Pentecost, he doesn't come to give us meaning, because the Holy Spirit's function and purpose in this world is to point to Jesus, who does give us meaning, and ultimate meaning. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So this morning, I remind you that being a Christian is not a matter only of affirming certain propositional truths or certain things that are true or reciting the creed even. It's that, but it's so much more. And being a Christian is not what we do or don't do. It's what God has done for us. It's a matter of participating in fellowship of God, entering into God and God into us in such a way that we could say with St. Paul, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but God, Christ, lives in me. One day, Jesus was asked about these things, and he says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God made us for this purpose. He says, we will come to you, and we will make our home in you. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.